This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, a big news day in Washington, D.C. After hearing from Americans like you and discussing the matter with his military leaders, President Trump announced this morning he is reversing the Obama-era policy on open transgenderism in the military. Predictably, the left has come unhinged. We'll talk about that. Retired Coast Guard Admiral Dean Lee joins us for that conversation. Also, there is an effort afoot to privatize the Federal Aviation Administration. Is that a good idea? Oklahoma Congressman Steve Russell has the answer when he joins us in just a moment here on Washington Watch. Also, we'll be taking your phone calls this afternoon. But first, check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. Lots of information there for you, including information about next year's trip. Next spring, we'll be going to Israel. The Family Research Council will be taking our tour over there. To find out more about how you can be a part of this special tour, go to TonyPerkins.com. All right, if you're on Twitter, it is at TPerkins. All right, there is a proposal to privatize the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, their air traffic control system. With us now is Congressman Steve Russell, who says this could threaten the security of our nation's airspace. Congressman Russell represents the 5th Congressional District of Oklahoma. He serves on the House Committee on Government Oversight and Reform, and he is the vice chairman of the Subcommittee on National Security. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. It's always great to be on.
Let's talk about this effort to privatize this aspect of the FAA. Your concerns about it?
I'm very concerned, and you hit it on the head on why, which is the national security pieces. Look, as conservatives, we're all about smaller government. As you well know, we do an awful lot to combat waste and to reduce things. And there are many privatization pieces that I would favor. You know, I've often said that the VA, for example, can administrate health care rather than provide it. We have a whole discussion on some of these other things. But when it comes to our national security, you know, to paraphrase Abraham Lincoln, he said the things that we cannot do as individuals, the government might have a role if we have to do them collectively. And when it comes to national defense, national intelligence, and national aerospace, we have to have security and controls on that. The problem with this privatization bill is that they've structured it in almost an impossible way. First off, we applaud the president for bringing up modernization, and we agree with it. If this is about modernization rather than privatization, we're all for it and helping the president get a win and find a solution. However, the construct, Title 31, there is no Title 31 authority over this corporation that will now be in charge of our air traffic control. That means there is no government oversight. Now, the Congressional Research Service put out today that likely is unconstitutional because you would now have a private company that will be performing government regulation, raising and increasing government fees, and performing government functions with no government oversight. So there's one, a constitutional problem. The other problem you have is you've got the national security pieces. If it's not under government oversight, like a military contractor, for example, they're still under DOD.
Right.
You can require them to hire only U.S. citizens. You can require them to have security clearances and take oaths of office, that type of thing. Not with a private corporation that is not under oversight. Therein lies the problem. Now you've got foreign nationals that could be hired. No requirement whatsoever or even a way to enforce oaths of office. Our air traffic controllers in our towers that keep airlines safe and all of us safe, even in the corporate and general aviation. Now you don't know who's in that tower, and they're not taking an oath even if you do.
So, I mean, obviously we have breaches of security in our current system, which is overseen by the government, but this essentially would be throwing the door open to that possibility if the government doesn't even have oversight.
That's correct. And that's why a lot of appropriators are against this. You have a lot of rural communities and general aviation against this. But now you've got a lot of the hawks against this. It's an odd coalition of folks because we have to protect the national security. The biggest black eyes that Department of Defense has faced have been revolving around security contractors.
Right.
The biggest breaches of intelligence and what the president is trying to fight today on all these leaks coming out from the White House, it's all happening with contractors. And also thank Edward Snowden and some of these things that have all come out of contractors. And they were under Title 31 oversight. Imagine, as you say, what happens when we throw open the door with no oversight whatsoever. There was an air traffic controller out in Hawaii, a military one, that was discovered that had sworn an oath of allegiance to ISIS. He's now being charged. And the good news on all of that was, before he could implement or do any plans, he was caught. He was caught by the military and the FBI, and he now was removed from the system. How did that happen? Oversight.
Hmm. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday afternoon. My guest, Oklahoma Congressman Steve Russell, talking about a proposal to privatize the Federal Aviation Administration's air traffic control system. I would think, Congressman, given what has happened, 9/11 and what we have seen subsequent to that, how our aviation system can be in some ways weaponized to be used against Americans, that we would want to be enhancing security, not de-escalating the security.
Well, absolutely. And a great many things have been done. And look, we want modernization. There's often comparisons. The proponents of this bill say, look, the reason we have to privatize is because, the lack of procurement, lack of fielding of new equipment, budget waste, all of these things. If that were an indictment to go to privatization, then why don't we just privatize national defense? There comes a point where, look, you cannot have appropriations of U.S. taxpayers' dollars being sent to a private company, and then you're not going to have any authority over them from the federal government. That opens us up to not only constitutional concerns, but it breaches a lot of security concerns. And, Tony, we're not even talking about the spectrum and cyber and right. A lot of things that go on at altitudes with our Department of Defense, our national intelligence organizations like CIA, FBI, Drug Enforcement Agency, tracking planes, doing different things, border security. There's so much that goes on in the air that most people are not aware of on a day-to-day basis that you have to have that interoperability and you have to have that type of security. We don't relinquish our skies. And when people draw comparisons to Europe or Canada, 90% of Europe's airspace is owned by the military. They only eked out 10% for commercial aviation, and the reason is that comes from Cold War days where you didn't have some East German operative being dropped by a little plane, in some potato field. They had to have control of those skies. We, in the United States, we the people own the skies. We are allowed access as individuals that, are licensed to fly, or if we travel on airlines, whatever. The people own the airspace, but it's protected collectively through our government oversight and our great air traffic controllers that do a great job.
So if there are inefficiencies and there are these barriers to getting in new equipment and making this our system modern and up-to-date with technology, why not go after those issues and not throw the baby out with the bathwater?
Well, and that's what we've shown. We've shown some of the constitutional problems. We've shown some of the Title 31 and Title 2 problems. What most Americans don't know is that they made a modernization move on this, and there was a major legislation that was passed not that many years ago called NextGen. And it has already been fielded. It is on track by 2021. Another thing people don't know is that air traffic control towers have already been modernized with a tracking system called ADS-B. And this allows kind of like our Google Maps, you know, when you're driving, this shows altitude, speed, location, everything, a lot of information for things in the air. And then they can send kind of text flight plans or different things for them to accept without a lot of communication. That's already in place in our air traffic control towers. The reason they've not flipped the switch on it yet is because they had to allow all of the people that are out there, private citizens, to get the equipment installed on their aircraft or the businesses, corporate jets or airlines, installing it on commercial aviation, UPS, FedEx, that type of thing. And the date for that is December 31st, 2020. That's the last day. And then January 1st, 2021, when you've got the system in, then you can fly in controlled airspace. If you don't, you're not going to be able to fly with any kind of ease in controlled airspace, and you'll have to fly in places where there is no controlled airspace. So the system is working. It's on a scheduled procurement. What that means is like when we build an aircraft carrier or if NASA is doing some rocket program, you can't do all of that in 1 year of Congress or one legislative session of Congress. You've got to procure it over time. And that's what they did with NextGen. So this is a solution that's looking for, you know, for a problem on this privatization. And that's why they don't have the votes. They've whipped it. It's not gotten there. There's a lot of concerns. The Senate has pledged to block it already, and we are trying to educate people on the real national security concerns, and that's why we really appreciate you helping us bring that to people's attention.
Well, Congressman, in a couple minutes we have left, talking about national security, the Congress right now debating the measure that would fund several elements of national security, the Make America Secure Appropriation Act, part of it, border funding, also talking about the military, the increase in military spending. There was opposition to this from many conservatives because of the funding of transgender reassignment surgeries, gender reassignment surgeries. That now has been nixed by the president's statement this morning. So I think conservatives are free to support this bill. Does it look like this measure will pass with support from Republicans?
That removes a lot of maneuverings and things that people were trying to do to address this issue. Now, to be clear, there was an amendment that Vicky Hartzler from Missouri had put out on the floor, and we certainly supported that. I supported many of the comments in the actual hearings, and when we had the committee, for the defense authorization. But the problem was is that we were trying to address something that was done by executive order. It wasn't anything that we put in.
Right.
It was done by executive order in the last administration, and they were trying to find the best way to do that before the 1 July deadline. And so those attempts failed. And fortunately, the president looked at this, and basically we were trying to prohibit taxpayer dollars going for these transgender surgeries, the therapies and all of that. And as I pointed out on C-SPAN this morning in an interview, getting into some First Amendment constitutional issues when it comes to rights of conscience, counselors, physicians, others that are on active duty that are being forced into some things that. So there were a lot of problems.
Hey, Congressman, can you hold on just a second? We're up against a break. We'll finish this on the other side of the break. Folks, don't go away. We're back with more after this.
With a Republican president in office, we should be confident that our religious liberties are secure, right? We'll think again. As violations of religious liberty continue to occur in our military, FRC recognized the need to account for anti-religious actions taken by armed forces and the Veterans Administration. In just one recent example, the West Point's football team incurred the wrath of the anti-religious left when they prayed after a win, even though the prayer was completely voluntary and supported by the players themselves. Unfortunately, this situation is one of the many similar incidents in recent years. Only time will tell how the Trump administration will deal with attacks against religious liberty. Learn more about how our men and women in uniform are encountering difficulty in expressing their faith. Go to frc.org/danger for real stories of how our military service members are fighting for the very rights that thousands of their predecessors fought and died for on the battlefield.
In America today, religious freedom, national borders, and even traditional gender roles are in peril. With all that's happening in our world, our nation is in desperate need of a return to conservative values. Hello, I'm Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of American Family Association. One of the best ways we can make a difference is with our vote. That's why each year the American Family Association is a sponsor of the Values Voters Summit to help increase cultural engagement. This year's Values Voters Summit will be October 13th through the 15th in Washington, D.C. The growing list of confirmed speakers includes people you hear on AFR like Ed Battagliano and Tawny Perkins, as well as Michelle Bachman, George Barna, Gary Bauer, the Benham Brothers, and more. The Values Voters Summit is sponsored in part by AFA Action. To learn more and to register, you can visit valuesvotersummit.org.
Dan Celia of Financial Issues.
I think income ultimately is the most important thing that we protect. I know one thing, and I know this from sitting across a lot of tables from a lot of people over the years, that at some point in time, maybe it's 75, maybe it's 85, there will be a point in time where the only thing you care about is how much income you have coming in. Don't let your portfolio be 100% subject to the volatility in the markets or dependent upon the market. Shore up some permanent income along with Social Security and your maybe a pension. Have some charitable gift annuity to shore that up. I hope you'll call the AFA Foundation today and find out more detail about a charitable gift annuity.
Call and speak with a representative of the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, the website tonyperkins.com. All right, discussing what's happening as we speak on Capitol Hill, the Senate continuing to debate the repeal of Obamacare, a couple of measures going down into defeat today. They're still debating a number of amendments, so stay tuned. This is going to go throughout the rest of the week. On the House side, debate, looking at the rules, they'll be voting probably tomorrow or possibly Friday on the Make America Secure Appropriations Act. And we were discussing that with Oklahoma Congressman Steve Russell. Congressman, thanks for sticking around over the break.
Yeah.
You were discussing the concerns that Congress had with the ramifications of this policy on transgenderism, which now, all of that is pretty much moot because the president reversing that today.
Well, and I think it was important, too, that the president addressed it before these things were allowed to be implemented on the July 1st date. Secretary Mattis had put an extension on that, that date so that they could review it. And we got indication this morning, obviously, when the president sent out his statement, that based on the review, this is not a direction that they feel that they need to go for the readiness and the good order and discipline and morale of the military.
Well, and it, in my view, is a very good decision. I think military personnel pleased with it. Certainly, conservatives pleased that we are seeing now a definitive break with the policies of the Obama administration, that era, which used the military to advance a lot of these radical social policies that did not put readiness and military effectiveness first.
Well, and as I had pointed out in an interview this morning, we've not had any hearings with regard to these surgeries and these types of things that they were wanting to fund with America's citizens' taxpayer dollars. Where were the discussions, the things concerning readiness, all of those things? And then, you know, to add to those concerns, not just, you know, about the money, but we get into the territory of the First Amendment.
Right.
When we start talking about rights of conscience, you know, are we now telling military doctors they have to perform these surgeries? Are we now telling chaplains they have to provide counseling in this way or that way? Are we telling unit commanders now that they have to tell their troops how to deal with male pregnancies? Are we telling commanders now that they have to, you know, accommodate, you know, people with male parts in showers of women's facilities? These were all of the things that were right out of the training manuals that I pointed out in the committee hearing. So, gratefully, I think the president has studied the issue and realized that this is not a direction that the military needs to go.
Well, Congressman, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us today, and we'll continue to track this measure on the FAA as well.
Okay.
All right, Congressman Steve Russell of Oklahoma. As I mentioned, the president this morning basically tweeting out that he said, after a consultation with my generals and military experts, please be advised that the United States government will not accept or allow transgender individuals to serve in any capacity in the U.S. military. Our military must be focused on decisive and overwhelming victory and cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical cost and disruption that transgender in the military would entail. Thank you. That was the end of the president's tweet. Joining us now is a retired military leader. He was an admiral in the United States Coast Guard, Admiral Dean Lee, among many retired military leaders expressing concern over this policy and its implications for military readiness and the ability of the military to perform their job. Admiral Lee, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, Tony. I appreciate the opportunity.
Your reaction to the president's announcement this morning?
Well, I was actually underway fishing this morning when I got within radio range. I happened to turn on the radio when I heard the announcement over NPR. And it kind of rocked me back because I thought that train had left the station and that there was no turning back on this. I was very, very pleased with the president's bold and decisive decision on this one, supported by Secretary Mattis.
There have been a number of military leaders, both active and retired, that have expressed concern over the amount of time that has been spent over in training over the social policies that the military has been forced to embrace, which has just been a distraction from the military's mission. Do you agree with that concern?
Oh, yes, sir. Absolutely, I do. When this policy, when the draft policy first came out last year, I was still on active duty, and I read the first iteration of the policy on a plane trip out to the West Coast, and by the time I landed, I had marked this thing up, and it was fraught with questions and concerns. And I was never able to get those questions, those concerns, adequately addressed before I retired in October, and I am glad to see that the other members, the other senior retired service members have joined the ranks with the active duty members still in command who can't openly talk about it. But glad to be part of the team that could get this agenda, the conservative agenda for the military service members, in front of the president, and glad to see he could make a decision on it. And I was surprised at how quickly it came about.
Well, it was encouraging. But this president is a man of action and is decisive when the information gets in front of him. Admiral, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Appreciate you sharing your thoughts on this, and I hope the fishing trip went well.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All right, folks, we'll continue our conversation on the other side of this break with Congressman Jim Banks of Indiana. Let me just say this, folks. This happened in large part because of you. I'll explain why, but your phone calls to Capitol Hill over the Make America Secure Appropriations Act brought this to the forefront of the president's attention. And when he spoke to military leaders about this, he said, why are we doing this? and that's why he acted. You were a key part of this. We'll talk more about that on the other side of this break. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Don't go away.
Making the most of your money, here's Dan Celia.
How do we know where the balance is between saving more money or paying off our debt? Well, it's a difficult question to answer, but I'll say this, that it's about prioritizing. Look, you've got to want and work hard to get out of debt. There's no doubt about it. But if you're working to get out of debt, you're doing nothing as far as savings goes. You're setting yourself up to getting in more debt. You have to balance it. Take one credit card or one piece of debt at a time, usually the smallest one, so that you can feel like you're accomplishing something. And if you have discretionary income every month of, say, $50, then you need to find a balance of putting some of that towards the debt, maybe $25, and the other $25 into savings. See, I don't think it's a good idea to sacrifice either one of them. I think you have to find a good balance to try to accomplish both. Make sure that you continue to save as you're paying off your debt. Now, at some point in time, you're likely to build your savings to where it's adequate, to where you feel as though, hey, if my transmission goes or whatever the situation is, I'll be able to pay for it. And you can commit a little bit more to getting out of debt. The other thing is, look at what you're cutting out of your lifestyle, and anything that you cut out of your lifestyle, put that towards your debt as well.
Experience Dan Celia in person. Find a faith, family, and finance town hall meeting or seminar near you at afafoundation.net.
All right, welcome back. This is Washington Watch, the website, TonyPerkins.com. Big news day in Washington, D.C. A lot happening on Capitol Hill, a beehive of activity. The Senate working its way through a number of amendments on the repeal of Obamacare. Don't know what it's going to come out to at the end. I don't know if they'll end up repealing or not. They're debating a lot of different amendments, different angles of trying to repeal and replace. So anyway, stand by. That'll be taking place throughout the week. On the House side, we mentioned the rule committee meeting moving toward a debate and vote on Make America Secure Appropriations Act. We've been talking about this for the last week and a half. I've been encouraging you to call your members of Congress and asking them to oppose this. This is the one that contains about $80 billion in new spending for the Department of Defense. It includes defense appropriations, military construction, veteran affairs, the legislative branch, energy and water development for the fiscal year 2018. Now, the reason we opposed it is because of this transgender funding in that the military was moving toward with gender reassignment surgeries being included, hormone treatments estimated to be anywhere from $1.5 to $3.7 billion over a 10-year period. Not something we should be spending money on. So this measure was in trouble because conservatives were opposing it because of your phone calls. This brought the issue before the president. The president said, well, why are we doing this? Why are we having trouble? And people say, well, this is the reason, Mr. President, because the military is looking at doing this. And he says, why is that happening? And knowing that he's got a lot of things on his plate, it's what is the most pressing that gets before the president. And the president then spoke to his military leader, said, this does not help us from a standpoint of military readiness and effectiveness. So the president said, well, let's just stop it. And so that's what the president did this morning. This is the first time. This is very significant, folks, and I don't want you to miss this. This is the first time that I can recall, even going back to Ronald Reagan, who was a really good president, but one of the, I'll look for another example, but one doesn't come to mind easily, where a Republican coming in behind a liberal Democrat that advanced these social programs, radical social programs that were harmful, in this case to the military, that they were actually reversed. Now, historically, what they would do, they might stop it, but they would never reverse it on any policy, whether that's the military, anywhere in government. Very rarely, and again, I'm struggling to find another example of this, so this is very significant, that the president in a decisive manner said, shouldn't be doing this. It's bad. And we're not going to do it anymore. So, folks, I want to commend you for the very strategic role that you played in this by responding to our calls to action. And that brought this before the president. The president acted, and now it's no longer a problem. Now, I'm going to do this in a little bit. We're going to open up the phone lines. I'm going to do something different. Never done this before. But I have been in communication with the White House expressing our gratitude, both mine as a veteran of the Marine Corps, as well as a conservative, social conservative, concerned about the moral climate of our country and how our military is used as the vanguard of all these liberal ideas, that we just got to stop it. And so this president did, and he's to be commended for doing that. And we're going to open up the phone lines, and I want to, you know, for those that would like to thank the president, call in and state your gratitude to the president, and we're going to make sure that he gets that so that he knows that conservatives across this country, despite what CNN and MSNBC are saying, that conservatives do support the president. That's why the president was elected, is because he's not the typical politician who is simply going to go along with the way things have been. All right, joining me now is Congressman Jim Banks of Indiana. He represents the 3rd Congressional District. He serves on the House Armed Services Committee. And Jim, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, it's great to be with you again.
Hey, we're just about 2 minutes from a break, so we're going to get into this. I'm going to have to pause and come back to you. But your reaction to the president's announcement this morning that he's reversing the transgender policy that Obama put in place as it pertains to our military?
Hey, Tony, this is a common sense announcement by this administration once again, and all that the president is doing in this announcement is rolling back policy to what it was just 2 years ago. It was 2 years ago that President Obama decided yet again on another issue to impose a social issue test on the United States military, inappropriately related to this transgender issue. So, I believe this is an important step to sideline this issue, so we can focus on what matters most, and that's preparing, or getting our military back on its feet and addressing the readiness crisis in the military today, so that we can confront the very serious threats that we face around the world.
It's more than just the issue of this one particular issue of open transgenderism in our military. I mean, this is a sea change from a standpoint of clearly there's a break with what took place over the last 8 years, where our military was seen more as a cultural mule, if you will, to carry an agenda. That's changing, and I think today's statement by the president, announcement, makes that very clear. Jim, we're up against a break. We're going to come right back. If you'll hang on, we'll finish this conversation on the other side of the break.
Sounds good.
All right, folks, don't go away. We're going to continue our conversation with Congressman Jim Banks of Indiana, and then we're going to be taking your phone calls here on Washington Watch. So don't go away. We're back with more after this.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. One of the places we visit on one of the days on our tour of Israel is the Shepherd's Fields. Now, this is a place in Bethlehem. You can look out on any given day and see shepherds with their sheep, as if it were 2,000 years ago during the birth of Christ. So that's a very special place that we visit. Yeah, the terrain would be the same. You can just picture yourself being there the night the angels sang about the glory of the coming of the Lord. That's just one of the places we visit on one of the days. So if you would like to join us on our March 8th through the 16th tour of Israel, we'd love to have you. Just go to the website, twholyland.com, for more information. twholyland.com. Or for a free brochure sent to you in the mail, call us at 800-FAMILIES. That's 1-800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, option 5.
Consider serving with Friendships. It's an all-volunteer ministry providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished here at home and around the world. We're now taking applications. If you're available to serve without pay, you can be part of the crew reaching out to help people in need. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
The American Family Association invites you to help us make In God We Trust more than a slogan. Since 1977, the American Family Association has been a voice to remind America that the blessings of our nation have come from God's gracious hand. You can order In God We Trust wristbands to share at afastore.net. That's afastore.net. Why not get 40 wristbands in honor of the American Family Association's 40th anniversary?
God is not an angry punisher, but he does allow worldly consequences which may be very painful to accept. Hi, Kim Katola for Cradle My Heart today. Candy had trouble conceiving after an abortion because the procedure was not properly done. And her partner walked out even though she had chosen it to try to please him. Candy was angry and alone, but she's learned that God is not to blame. By accepting her consequences, she has avoided bitterness and committing new acts of sin with new and perhaps more painful results. Candy's healthy dependence on God means she trusts his correction to bring comfort. She says to be contrite is to be brokenhearted over having offended God and not just being fearful of the consequences. Find out more about the spiritual aftermath of abortion at CradleMyHeart.org. Saving lives and healing hearts after abortion, one story at a time. CradleMyHeart.org.
This is Washington Watch. All right, continuing our conversation with Congressman Jim Banks of Indiana. Congressman, thanks for sticking around.
No problem, Tony.
Let's talk about the bigger issue here. I mean, this is a sea change. I know you also, in addition to being in Congress, you are a member of the Naval Reserve. You've served in our nation's military and continue to serve. I mean, this shows a paradigm shift in many ways from what the military has been operating under for the last 8 years.
Yeah, that's right, Tony. I have a unique perspective. In recent years, as a reservist, we're often forced and required to go through training, mandatory training related to issues like welcoming transgender troops into the military. So Secretary Mattis also said something yesterday about eliminating a number of these types of training that get in the way of our troops, especially reservists and others who only show up one weekend a month to learn and train, to eliminate a lot of these burdensome training courses, especially the ones that are related to these social experiments that were brought about during the Obama years, the 8 years of the Obama administration. So you're right, the president's announcement and change of policy related to transgender troops in the military is indicative of a significant change, not just in the White House, but also at the DOD that I think will be welcomed by a vast majority of our troops.
Well, Congressman, before I let you go, I also want to, you may have heard this before as you were coming on, I was talking with our listeners. There has been a lot of opposition expressed to the additional funding for the military through the Make America Secure Appropriations Act because of this issue and the Department of Defense moving forward with potentially doing the gender reassignment surgery. So and I know there's a number of conservatives that were opposed to voting for that bill for that reason, that opposition now removed. the folks that have expressed concern over this policy have helped make a difference on this, have they not?
There's no question. And once again, Family Research Council led the way in exposing that issue related to the bill that we're going to vote on sometime today or very early in the morning, late tonight, related to funding the military, that previously that funding would have gone potentially toward surgeries for transgender troops. The American taxpayer should never be on the hook to fund those types of surgeries. In fact, that money, to the tune of well over $1 billion, should go toward restoring and rebuilding our military at a time when we desperately needed to do just that. So a big change, a welcome change today. We have a lot more work to do, but this is one big step in eliminating a number of distractions that get in the way of the readiness of our troops to go and do what they have to do when they fight to defend our country.
Well, Congressman, our hats off to you and other members of the Freedom Caucus that have stood firm on these issues and helped to bring them out today's positive resolution. Jim, thanks so much for joining us today.
Have a good day.
All right. Congressman Jim Banks of Indiana. To find out more, you go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Okay, here's what I'm going to do, folks, in the time we have left. I'm going to open up the phone lines here, and I know some of you are already dialed in, 866-372-7234. And if you'd like to make a statement, thanking the president for his decision, we're going to make sure that we get that to you or get that to the president. Because I think the president needs to know that folks across the country, number one, who many of whom voted for him, helped put him in office, 81% of evangelicals supported this president. Without them, he would have not succeeded. That they support him in these type of policies. I was in multiple conversations at the White House today, personally expressing the appreciation, but also conveying that appreciation from the social conservative community, evangelical community. But I want to take that to him in a very tangible way. So 866-372-7234. Let me know what you think. We'll get that to the president. Let's go to Kansas, where Janice is on the line. Janice, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for taking my phone call. I do want to say how much that I do appreciate President Trump for getting that issue out of the way, and for we want to give our best to the military. I have a service person that's a family member that's in the service, and I know that other families also have been told that they needed to go to the local discount store to get particular items in order to do their job in the military. So it was very disheartening to think that we would be spending billions of dollars going to transgender and not helping the troops. We need to get those the best supplies and services that we can.
Well, thank you, Janice. I appreciate that. Thanks so much for calling in. It is true. We need to be looking out for our men and women in the military and making sure that they, their families are, number one, able to provide for their basic needs. But we shouldn't be diverting limited resources, and that's what the president communicated in his decision today. Shouldn't be diverting those limited resources into non-essential things like these transgender sex gender reassignment surgeries and hormone treatments. Janice, thanks so much for calling. Let's go to Texas for Rick's on the line. Rick, welcome to Washington Watch. Rick, are you there? Well, let's go on to Indiana, where Florence is on the line. Florence, welcome to Washington Watch.
Praise the Lord for President Trump. When I sat down to listen, I thank God, praise him. In my family, we've had, starting with my father, it was in World War II, uncles and cousins and my dad was in World War One. My uncle and cousins in World War Two, and I had three sons in the Vietnam War. So I'm proud of our president to change things around and take that money and support and buy things for our troops.
Well, thank you so much, Florence. I appreciate you calling and grateful for families like yours that have served our country so well. Let's go to Missouri, where Tom is on the line. Tom, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony, and thank you for what you do and everything with FRC. Yes, I'm glad that not only the president tweeted about this, but this has been pulled out of this bill. I served three times in the reserve from 2000 to 2005 as a reservist. And as being a doctor, it cost me about $800,000 to serve my country. And to think someone can come in and, as you know, before you couldn't come in with flat feet or any right. other problems, and now they want to fund this, yet they don't really support the troops or the reservists that served all those years leading up to Iraqi freedom and after that. And to have this be blocked and seeing the money going straight to the troops and what we should train for, I do agree with what's going on here.
Well, Tom, thanks so much. Thank you for your service, and thank you for calling in today. All right, we're going to try to work in as many calls as we can. Let's go to Illinois, where Vernon is on the line. Vernon, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, good afternoon. I'd like to say I'm totally for what the president has done. I admire his courage, his wisdom that he's using to make the decisions. And I just praise God for that. And I just hope and pray that the Republicans in the House and the Senate will see the example that the president has set and get off their duffs and do the job that they have decided, have told us that they would do in the last 5 or 6 years. That's my opinion, sir.
Well, thank you, Vernon. I appreciate you listening and calling in. We'll certainly pass that message along. Let's go to Louisiana, where Chris is on the line. Chris, welcome to Washington Watch.
How you doing, Tony?
I'm great. How are you?
I just wanted to say, I'm good. I just wanted to say I was actually one of the ones that called my senators, but I didn't only call Louisiana senators. I called Mitch McConnell himself. So I wanted to give him a piece of my mind to let him know that it's not right for us to fund something for the transgenders. And that's my opinion.
Well, and the message got through, and again today, the president taking a decisive action where, not many political leaders will be as bold. I mean, they just don't. They will not. They'll try to work their way around it. He went straight on and said, this is a problem. It's not helping our military. We're not going to do it. So, Chris, thanks so much for listening. Appreciate you calling in. Let's go to Mississippi, where Andrea is on the line. Andrea, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I have a confession to make. I did not call Washington because, I must be honest, I had really thought it's just not going anywhere. I couldn't see light at the end of the tunnel, but I have to know that from now on I will call all the time, even if the audience seems so stacked as they have been. Now, I'll also tell you that I was in the military for 21 years. I didn't work for the Corps of Engineers, and as a civilian, we are also subjected to this ridiculous training. Well, one of the trainings was transgender training. You know, Tony, out of at least one of two that refused to take the training, and I had to be very diplomatic about it, and I thought, if this is the sword I'm going to fall on, then this might have to be it, but everyone has to decide to take a stand at one point or another, and I'm glad I did for this one. It just isn't right to do this to our people.
Well, thank you, Andrea, and thank you for taking a stand. Let me tell you, it's a new day, and that's why the left is pitching such a fit, because they know if they can push this onto the military, then all of these other agencies, as you just pointed out, the Corps of Engineers, they'll have to follow suit. And so now that this is being rolled back in the military, it is going to affect other government agencies as well. And by the way, stand by next week. You're going to see some follow-up to the president's executive order on religious liberty. The next phase of that is going to be coming about, and I think it's going to be very instructive. We're going to see government agencies basically put on notice that they have to respect religious freedom. And that's not just the ability to believe. It is the free exercise of religion. So, Andrea, I think things are going to get better in the federal government. There's a new sheriff in town. All right, we're going to work in a couple more calls here before we run out of time. Let's go to Utah, where Rodney is on the line. Rodney, welcome to Washington Watch.
Oh, thank you very much, and God bless you. I'm a Vietnam veteran, and I just want to thank, I can't thank the president enough for what he's doing for the military. It's been a long time since we've had a president to really look out for the military and take into consideration. Vietnam was a war that could have been won if it was done right. It could have been won easily in a year and a half, no more than 2 years, and it would have been done. We wouldn't be in the mess that we have going on over there now. But unfortunately, ever since Korea, we've had people in Washington that were supposed to be our leaders that did not have a backbone.
Mm-hmm. Finally, I think it's a different day. It's a different day, Rodney. Rodney, I want to thank you for your service to our nation as a veteran. Thank you so much for your service, and you're absolutely right. It would have been different in a number of outcomes had we had bold, courageous leadership to do the right thing. All right, let's go to Virginia, where Susan is on the line. Susan, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a first-time listener. I'm sorry, first-time caller. I listen to you every day and appreciate the truth and importance of the news that you bring to the American public.
Well, thank you.
I'm from a family, a Marine family. My dad won the Bronze Star. He was at the Chosin Reservoir in the Korean War. He passed away 3 years ago, and he would be fit to be tied to be seeing what's going on everywhere these days in the political world. But thank you so much for letting us say our appreciation, and thanks to our wonderful President Trump. The county that I live in is Tallahassee County, and David Bratt is our congressman, and he is a wonderful representative. But unfortunately, we have two Democratic senators that I am on the phone or email with them almost every day. Thank you so much, and thank you, President Trump. We love everything you do.
Well, thank you, Susan, and keep listening and keep calling. All right, keep calling your senators and encouraging them to do the right thing. Folks, again, just want to thank you for the impact that you had by responding, making these phone calls to your members of Congress and standing firm on issues of what is right and what is in the best interest of our nation and our military. Not going to be able to get to the rest of the calls, but there will be other opportunities. I think this president is going to do a number of things that advances our ability to advance and appreciate and enjoy faith, family, and freedom. I want to encourage you to be praying for the president and this administration, obviously coming under attack for taking such a decisive stand. This has become kind of a sacred cow for the left. Anything sexual. I mean, this age of sexual anarchy, to speak with clarity is the worst thing you can do. But it's the best thing that can happen if we just have leaders that will do it like the president did it today. All right, folks, thanks so much. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, and you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.